Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, last week I mentioned that we're planning a mission project to Alto Frio, and in fact, when you came in today, you should have received a half sheet of paper. If you did not receive one of these, you can grab one on your way out. But let me just tell you a little bit more about this project, because you're invited to join us in this. Now, if you're newer with us, let me just tell you, Alto Frio Baptist Encampment is where we have taken our youth to youth camp for years. We're still taking them to youth camp there. The last couple of years, we've taken our children to kids camp there. And so over the last few years, it's just become evident that some of the cabins need to be updated. They need some things to be done to them to improve them. However, COVID hit Alto Frio pretty hard, financially speaking. This is true for many camps and many churches that COVID hit it pretty hard. And so while things need to be done to update these cabins, the camp is just not in a financial position to do some of these things on their own. So our Mission Development Council has decided that we as a church can adopt one of those cabins so that we can use some of our mission funds and some of our people to go and improve and make some updates to those cabins. And so the cabin that we are adopting is cabin 301. And so we're going to replace some sinks, we're going to do some electrical work, we're going to replace toilet seats, we're going to maybe paint the walls, we're going to paint the floor in the bathrooms. We're talking about putting slip covers on the bunk bed mattresses to give it a nice, clean, new look. Maybe even paint the bunk beds themselves. All of this really depends on how much labor we have going with us to participate in this. And so this is what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to take this slip of paper and to just begin praying about whether or not the Lord would have you to be a part of this mission project with us. And so the dates are April 25th through 27th. That is a Thursday through a Saturday. Now, some of you may want to come on Thursday and spend the entire time there with us. However, some may say, well, you know what, I've got school or work on Friday. And so you may come down on Friday night and spend the night and work with us all day on Saturday. Some may just come up on Saturday for part of the day. But what we're asking you is to look at those dates, pray about how the Lord would have you to participate, and then fill this form out and return it to us. And on here, you see, we're asking for your name, how many in your family might be participating with us, what skills you might bring, any special skills if you have some. So bring this back. And then also, if you have tools that you can provide, you can put those on there as well. And then write which dates you're going to be able to participate, whether it is the whole time, Thursday through Saturday, whether it's Friday and Saturday, whether it's just Saturday, put those dates on there as well, because we want to be able to assemble and prepare our team to go. And as we go and as we serve, hopefully we can make some improvements in this cabin. We can make some updates in this cabin so that when church leaders and campers walk into that cabin this summer, the changes will be evident. So we're in a series right now titled The Resurrected Life. As we're going through this series, we're walking through the first half of the book of Ephesians. We're going to have a different series to take us through the second half of the book of Ephesians. But as we think about this resurrected life, I want you to understand that the resurrected life is so much more than simply Jesus coming into our life to just make some updates and improvements like we're making in this cabin at Alto Frio. That's great for our mission project, but Jesus didn't come into this world to die on the cross simply so he could improve us. He came into this world to die on the cross so that he could save us. And in doing so, when we give our lives to Christ, it's not just an update to our life, maybe an improvement here or an improvement there. No, the resurrected life is a complete renovation of our heart. And I think that this is important for us to remember because I think especially in our American culture, many times we minimalize the gospel to something like, here are seven tips for living a better life. But that's not the gospel. Jesus isn't just giving us tips on how to live a better life. Jesus is saying, in me, you can have a brand new life. In me, you can have a transformed life. In me, you can be set free. You can become a brand new creation. And so it's not just about an improved life, it is about a new life. So let me say it again, the resurrected life is a complete renovation of the heart. And we're going to see more of what this resurrected life looks like as we look at our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 15 through 19 this morning. Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. Now, as you're turning there, let me just remind you of what we've seen in Ephesians chapter 1 so far. First, we've been reminded that our salvation is not based upon our works, rather it's based solely upon God's grace. And this is really what makes Christianity unique because every other religion is going to tell you to work harder, try and be good enough to earn your right standing before God. But what Christianity tells us is that, guess what? You will never be able to work hard enough. You will never be able to be good enough to earn that right standing before God. But God is also not asking us to do that. Instead, God looked at sinful mankind and he said, I'm going to do the work for them. And so Jesus, God the Son, came into this world to go to the cross to complete the only work necessary for our salvation. And when we put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ, his grace is lavished on us, and through Christ and Christ alone, we gain that right standing before God. So we've seen that our works or our salvation is not based upon works. Rather, it's based solely upon God's grace. Then last week, we were reminded that our salvation is for the praise of God's glory. In other words, Christ's death and our salvation has nothing to do with how great we are, but it has everything to do with how great, how wonderful, and how loving our God is. Understand, God has saved us to showcase his glory. God has saved us to showcase his glory. So I don't know about you, but my favorite game show when I was growing up was The Price is Right with Bob Barker. Come on down. And while Drew Carey, I'm not saying he's not a good host, but The Price is Right, it's never going to be the same as it was when it had Bob Barker as the host. And at the end of every show, still even today, right, they have the showcase showdown where they display all of these great prizes and they have the models that smile and point at the prizes. They wave their hands around. All of this is to just show off how great these prizes are. So understand, God the Son becoming man in the flesh, dying on the cross for the sins of mankind, and then through his death, reconciling sinful man to a perfect God, all of that is to display God's glory. Because we can point to all of those things and we can say, look just how great our God truly is. God has saved us to showcase his glory. And thank God that he has. So now as we look at our passage, we're going to see Paul talk more about this great salvation that we have received through Christ. And then we're going to see some things that Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. And this prayer is going to be significant for us as we walk through this passage today. So with that in mind, let's read Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. It says, this is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saint, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his strength. Now, as we look at our passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see Paul say there in verse 16. Paul said, "I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." And I love Paul's heart there because Paul really has a pastor's heart for all of these churches that he writes these letters to. Paul doesn't just give them instructions on what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. He does that, but he also says, "I want you to know that I'm praying for you." And so in the same vein, as your pastor, I want you to know that although I stand up here each and every week and I proclaim God's word, and as we look at God's word, we look at the things we should be doing and the things we shouldn't be doing. This is a huge part, a big part of what I'm called to do as your pastor. I want you to know, even though I'm doing that, I also want you to know that you are being prayed for. There are times that you're prayed for because I simply pray for you myself, whether it's in my office, whether it's in my car, whether it's simply in my quiet time with the Lord. I'm praying for you by name because I love you and because God has entrusted you into my care. But you're also being prayed for by our staff. We say this in the welcome almost every week, that when you submit a prayer request to us, we as a staff, we pause and we pray over those prayer requests during the week. Usually that happens on Tuesdays, where Jody Palmer and I, we pray together. Sometimes that happens on Thursdays, but every week we are pausing to pray over those prayer requests. But also, Palmer, Becky, and I, we get to get together for staff meeting every so often, and when we come together, the three of us, we are praying for you because, once again, you have been entrusted in our care. We are a family together, and we love you, and so without a shadow of a doubt, I want you to know that you are being prayed for. But I want to point out a couple of things that Paul says he never stops giving thanks for as he prays. First, he never stops giving thanks for those who have come to faith in Jesus. This is what we see at the start of verse 15 when he says, "This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus." He never stops giving thanks for those who have come to faith in Christ Jesus. Now, here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, over the last couple of years, we have been extremely blessed. It's been a privilege to see so many people giving their lives to Christ and then following with that celebration through baptism. And this happens so often that it really has become the new normal for us here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, for us to have a baptism almost every Sunday. And we had one today with Stevie, but we've got some for the next three Sundays as well. And so it's really the new normal here for us to have a baptism, very abnormal when we're not celebrating someone's profession of faith through Christ in baptism. But even though this has become normal for us every single Sunday, may it never become mundane. May it always be something that brings us great joy as we celebrate the work that God has done in the life of someone, as we celebrate their salvation. Because this is what I believe to be true. We celebrate what's important to us. We celebrate graduations. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate engagements, marriages, pregnancy announcements. We celebrate all of these things. And there's so many more things that we celebrate in this life because we celebrate what's important to us. And if all of these other things are worthy to be celebrated, how much more worthy is it for us to celebrate when God saves a soul? This is why we don't just baptize someone. I like to kind of extend that celebration. So this morning when Stevie got baptized, we had Keely up there taking pictures of that baptism. We'll post those pictures on social media. Later on in this week, I'll post the video of his baptism on social media as well. All of that is to extend that celebration. Also, Stevie's water drop with his name on it is on that back bulletin board. And so every single week we can walk by that board and be reminded of Stevie's baptism and all of these others who have professed Christ as Lord and been baptized. And so all of this just kind of extends that celebration, because celebrating the salvation of a soul should never become a tired thing for us. We should always have that desire to continue celebrating. So Paul said he never stops giving thanks for those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Second, he never stops giving thanks for the love that they have for other saints. This is what we see in the second part of verse 15. And I think that this is worth mentioning, because while certainly we are called to love our enemies and we're called to love the lost, we are also called to love one another. Why? Because when we are unified as believers, we are able to further the gospel together. When we are unified as believers, we are able to further the gospel together. This is one of the things that I love about the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, because what we do when we give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, we are partnering with believers around this country. We are pooling our resources together so that we can send missionaries onto the field right here in North America so that they can share the gospel. When we are unified as believers, we are able to further the gospel together. And so as we think about our love for other saints, this is really part of what our heart is in this Alto Frio Mission Project. It's more than simply going to show some love to some buildings. Our desire is also to show our love to two believers that are a part of our church family, Jack and Julie Campbell. Now, if you're newer with us, Jack and Julie Campbell are longtime members of First Baptist Church Stockdale. At the end of 2022, we prayed over them and we sent them out to go and live at Alto Frio, to go and work at Alto Frio. And so Jack takes care of the maintenance, Julie takes care of the housekeeping. And so part of this mission project, it simply allows us to show love to these two people that we love so dearly. So Paul gives thanks for those who have come to faith in Christ Jesus and for their love for other saints. But now as we continue to walk through this passage, I want to highlight two things that we see that Paul prays for here in his prayer for the church in Ephesus, because I believe that these two things that he prays for are things that we should desire in our life as well, both as individuals and as a church. So let's look at these two things. First, we should desire to walk in true wisdom. Well, what is true wisdom? I believe that Paul talks about what true wisdom is as he's praying this for the believers in verse 17. He says, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." So what is true wisdom, the wisdom that we should desire? True wisdom is the wisdom found in knowing God. Hear that again. True wisdom is the wisdom found in knowing God, which means true wisdom is not found in the books of this world or in the degrees of this world. Now, that is not to say that the books of this world or the degrees of this world are not important or completely irrelevant. In fact, at the end of last semester, our very own youth minister, Palmer Jones, he completed his master's program in seminary. He brought his framed diploma up here to the office this week. And later on this semester, he's going to get to walk in that graduation. That's something that we celebrate with Palmer. And we're thankful for that. The degrees of this world, the books of this world, they're not unimportant. They're not irrelevant. But at the end of the day, when we stand before God in eternity, it's not going to matter how many books we read or how many degrees we received. When we stand before God, God is not going to ask us if we grew in the wisdom of this world. What's going to be most important to us on that day is if we truly knew Him. And this knowledge of God that Paul is praying for is more than simply a head knowledge. It is a heart knowledge. It's an understanding, a recognition. as we take in the information about God, it's a recognition of who God truly is, and then a surrender, a submission to the truth of who God is, who we know Him to be. So true wisdom is the wisdom found in knowing God. As we think about this wisdom, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 19, where Paul said, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he can become wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." So there are seafood companies that sell a product called crab. K-R-A-B. It sounds like crab, but it is not crab. In fact, this imitation crab, it is made up of many other things in the sea, like cheap fish, sardine oil, seaweed, mixed with starch, egg whites, and yam flour. That's just to name a few of those ingredients. There's more. And this imitation crab, it may or may not include any actual crab itself. So when Paul talks about the wisdom of this world, he's reminding us that in this world there is going to be things that the world offers to us that sound like wisdom, and maybe even they look like wisdom, but they are not true wisdom. It's an imitation wisdom. And he's telling us, don't settle for imitation wisdom. Desire the real thing. Desire the wisdom found in knowing God and submitting to the truth of who God is. So we should desire to walk in true wisdom. Second and finally, we should desire to walk in true enlightenment. Let's look at verses 18 and 19 again. Paul said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his strength." We should desire to walk in true enlightenment. So what is enlightenment? Well, let me explain it this way. Every morning when Ethan, our son, is still asleep, I go to his room and I turn the light on so that he will wake up. We could understand enlightenment in this same way. Enlightenment is when the lights come on and when we wake up. Now, this is not the lights of in our room. This is the lights in our spirit. Enlightenment is when the lights come on and when we wake up. And if we're honest, enlightenment is something that the world desires. The world promotes to be enlightened. However, just like the wisdom of this world, the enlightenment that the world promotes is also foolishness. Because in the world's quest to be enlightened, the world simply pursues darkness and walks further and further into darkness. They go down the path, the world goes down a path of accepting, embracing, and even celebrating sin. But I want you to know that is not true enlightenment. So understand, true enlightenment does not occur when we embrace, when we accept and embrace sin. True enlightenment occurs when we reject sin and embrace the truth of God. Because it's only when we turn from our sins, surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord, it's only when His Spirit comes into our life that it's like the lights come on and we see just how vile, just how corrupt, just how wretched we were apart from Christ. And we understand just how great the salvation is that we have received and this great inheritance that we have promised to us in Jesus Christ. It's when we recognize these things, when our lights come on by His Spirit, and when we wake up to the truth of God, it is only then that we experience true enlightenment. True enlightenment does not occur when we accept and embrace sin. True enlightenment occurs when we reject sin and embrace the truth of God. So as we look at Paul's prayer, we understand that we should desire to walk in true wisdom and we should desire to walk in true enlightenment. But understand, walking in true wisdom, walking in true enlightenment, it doesn't occur simply by making an improvement here and there in our life. True enlightenment occurs. True wisdom occurs. We experience this when our hearts have been completely renovated by Christ. And it is then and only then, when our hearts are renovated by Christ, that we are able to walk in and live out this resurrected life. But if you're here today and you would say that you have never surrendered to the truth of who God is, you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord, and therefore your heart has not yet been renovated, you would look at your life and you would say, you know what, my life still looks like I'm doing things on my own, and maybe I make an improvement here and there, but my life has not been renovated by Christ. It has not been transformed by Him. If that's you, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this will be your opportunity to respond. And today, if you're here and you would say, that's me, I need to surrender to Christ. I need for Him to forgive me, to save me, and to change my life that I might live this resurrected life. If today you're ready to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, then I want to invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. You can join me down here. And today you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord. But maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've never taken that next step of baptism like Stevie did this morning to publicly profess Jesus Christ as Lord. Listen, we don't believe that baptism saves us. We believe that that happens first. And then we simply take that step out of obedience to what the Lord has called us to do, to publicly profess Christ as Lord through baptism. If you need to make that commitment this morning, then I would invite you to respond as well. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that next step of baptism already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today, you can become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.